Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, full of sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In this teaching of Jesus, when he speaks about those who will not be convinced, even if someone should rise from the dead, in a way it's as if he's prophesying what's going to happen to him. He has come to call people to turn away from their sins, to repent, to believe in the law of the Lord. And he will die because people are rejecting his teaching. That's why they wanted him crucified. And then he'll rise. And yet even though he rises, many people still reject his call to repent of their sins. But that call of Jesus remains. In this gospel teaching of our Lord, we see a story about two men. One man is the poor man Lazarus. He dies and he goes to heaven. And the other man is the rich man. And when he dies, he goes to hell. Now, the first lesson of this teaching of our Lord is this reality of heaven and hell. There really are only two ultimate destinations for human beings, heaven or hell. And this is the teaching of Jesus. You know, a lot of times today people will say, Jesus is all about welcoming others and being kind and forgiving and merciful and accompanying others and walking with them and reaching out to those who seem to be on the margins and things like that. So really this teaching about hell, which is a place defined to be as exclusion from God and from heaven, really can't be real because that goes against the teaching of Jesus. But this idea is false because we know what we know about the reality of heaven and hell from the words of Jesus himself. It's not some theological invention of the Catholic Church. Rather, it's very scriptural. It's the words of our Lord Jesus. So we have to take this seriously. There really is only one destination or another for every one of us. Ultimate destination. Heaven forever or hell forever. Period. That's the way it is. There is no getting around this. This is the truth. Heaven is the place of eternal reward, of eternal happiness, of communion with the Most Holy Trinity and with all the saints. In other words, it's a great family of oneness in the grace and truth of Jesus, and it's forever. You have a security, an eternal security in this oneness, this communion of the saints. Hell is the opposite. It is a place of torment, of punishment, of anguish, eternal loss, and eternal, if you can say this, loneliness, where there is no communion because there is no love, there's no friendship, eternal frustration. Heaven is for those who freely choose to follow the Lord, who freely choose to accept His mercy, to trust in His word, and make every effort to be faithful to the word of the Lord. And it's a place of rejoicing. Hell is the opposite. For those who freely chose by their actions, words, and desires to reject God and His law, to reject Christ, to even reject His mercy. And it's a free choice that they end up hating for all eternity. Now, sometimes people will say, well, you don't really want to talk about these ideas because they're too heavy. And believe me, they are heavy themes. And as a preacher, I don't often like to preach about something like hell. And in fact, I told someone in the church, I said, boy, I wish early in the morning, I wish I didn't have to talk about this. You know, someone gets out of bed early to go to Mass and they bring their family there, and then all of a sudden the preacher's talking about heaven and hell. And I said, I wish I didn't have to talk about this, but you know, I have to, because I have to be faithful to the Lord. But here's an interesting thing. When the Blessed Virgin Mary visited Fatima about 100 years ago, she spoke to these little children and she showed them a vision of hell. And she said, here is hell where the souls of poor sinners go. And Mary is the most sensitive woman in the history of humanity, the most compassionate, the most understanding, because she has the heart of a perfect mother. And she showed these children a vision of hell. And they weren't traumatized by that. In fact, what happened to these children after they saw this vision is they decided for the rest of their lives, the rest of their time on this earth, they would defend souls. They would do what they could to lead others to Christ, to lead people to turn away from sin and be faithful to the Lord Jesus. And so it's okay to think about these eternal realities. Now, the gospel, we have this poor man Lazarus, and then we have the rich man. But you know, the rich man actually is the poor man because he was lacking in virtue, lacking in charity. In times past, if you referred to someone as a poor man or a poor woman or a poor soul, it was someone who was lost in sin, someone who had no virtue and no holiness, someone who wasn't on the path of righteousness. You would say, that poor man, he's poor, he's lacking in goodness by his own free choice. Well, this rich man really ends up being a poor man because he neglects Lazarus. He ignores him. And the poor man actually ends up being the rich man because of his trust in God. What did the rich man do? The rich man chose comfort for himself and refused to help others. And what we have here is the response of divine justice is that he's punished. And it's interesting in this gospel, the rich man from his place of torment begs Lazarus to be sent to him and dip his hand in some water and give some water to this man's tongue, because his tongue in a way seems to be burning in the torment of the flames. Some of the ancient fathers of the church spoke about this, and they said that that's a symbol of something about this man's use of words, that he used his tongue to, in his lifetime, to speak evil words, to lie about others, to belittle others and bully them, to use words in a very, very sinful way. And so even his tongue is being punished. This man probably committed many sins, and he's suffering in his own soul the torment, and his own body the torment of these sins. Now for us, what could be the lesson today? Well, the lesson could be that we need to be vigilant. You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, watch and pray. That call to watch is like we have to watch our steps. We have to watch how we live our life. We have to watch our desires, our words, and our actions, and make sure that we're living and walking on a path pointed towards heaven. And if we're not, we have to repent. I think it was Socrates who said a long time ago that an unexamined life is a life not worth living. In other words, he was telling people, you got to look at how you live. Well, Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, is telling us that we have to watch. We have to be vigilant about our life. Watch and pray. The other lesson about this gospel, when we hear it, immediately we think it's a call for us to help the poor. And it is. We have to help the poor. Jesus himself identifies himself with the poor and the little ones. I was sick and you came to care for me. I was in prison, you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me and so forth. So we have to help the poor. And we should be on the lookout for ways we can reasonably help those who are poor. Now, Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who is, in a way, for our time, the greatest example of helping the poor, used to say that, you know, sometimes when we think of helping the poor, we have to go to some other country. And that's a good thing to do, to go to some poor people and help them. But she also said that people are not only hungry for food and drink and clothing and shelter. Many people, even she said this about in America, that many people are hungry for love, or for acceptance and for mercy. And you know where the first place is where we live this call to help others? It's in our families. That's where we first live the call to love one another as Christ loved us. That's not just a call, it's a commandment. It's in our families, in our marriages, among our friends and our co-workers, in our communities. In the gospel, the rich man seems to have oppressed the poor man in this life's journey by refusing to help him. And who knows, he may have done some other things that kept him in that situation of poverty. But you know, we can do that too to others by our words, by our lack of forgiveness, by our indifference. And this can happen in our own families. You know, if you lash out in anger at someone all the time in your family, well, in a way, you're oppressing them, or in the workplace, or in some other situation. I once knew a situation where a man who was in a position of leadership was constantly angry, and he wanted everybody to, in a way, bow down before his anger. And he would tell them that my only emotion is anger, and you're going to see that all the time. And people saw it every single day. And he was literally oppressing the people on the staff of his job tremendously by his anger, because they could no longer feel free to be themselves because they were afraid he was going to blow up at something totally insignificant. Well, think about that. By our anger, by our lying, by our indifference, by our lack of forgiveness, by our ignoring of others, we can actually oppress them. We can prevent them from being who they really are. We have to watch out for that. Now, imagine this. Imagine it's the end of your life, and you've come to death itself, which is coming for us all. Someone told me once that humanity has been successfully dying for thousands and thousands of years. We're all going to face death, and it's not easy, but we are. Imagine that you are at the moment of your death, and you find yourself in a movie theater all by yourself. It's just you, there's no one else around, and it's dark. And the screen comes on, and it's a movie of your life. And in this movie, it shows you screaming at someone, hollering at them and belittling them. It shows you lying to someone. It shows you doing all kinds of sinful things. It shows you neglecting prayer. It shows the blessing that God was always showering upon you, but you've ignored it. It shows all of these problems in your life, and then the voice of the angel says, here is your life, and now here is your punishment. That movie would fill you with tremendous regret. But what you really want is to come to that movie and see a life of goodness, and you want to see the acts of charity, the acts of devotion to Christ, the acts of loving others and forgiving others, the acts of patience and gentleness and kindness toward others. And that movie would fill you with gratitude and joy. You would feel, I have lived my life well. I may not have been perfect, but I made great efforts to serve the Lord and His people. And the reward for that movie would be heaven. And so what we have to do is to think about that movie and start to write it anew right now. The thing is God is merciful. So maybe up to this point, your movie has been terrible. it's been so dark. Well, accept His mercy and begin again and start to produce a new movie. Let His grace live within your heart. Let the grace of divine mercy transform you into a faithful disciple of Jesus right now. And be like the poor man Lazarus, who, if he could have, would have used everything he had to help others. And so, brothers and sisters, as we hear this very stark and difficult, challenging teaching of our Lord Jesus about heaven and hell and the judgment, may we think about this movie, the movie at the end of our life, and make it a good one. Make it one where you truly love God and love one another. In this way, not only will you come to this end of life with hope and with joy, but along the way, you just might lead others to do the same thing, to follow Christ, to repent of their sins, and to become the saints of our time. God bless you.